AP National Security Correspondent Sagar Magani reports two U.S. service members have been killed by small arms fire in northern Iraq.
The military says the troops were handing out blankets west of Mosul when a shooter wearing an Iraqi army uniform opened fire from a distance. A military official says an investigation's underway. It's unclear whether the attacker was an Iraqi soldier or an insurgent in disguise.
Planned Parenthood President Cecil Richards claims most Catholics are pro-abortion. LifeNews.com reports Richards as saying 54% of Catholics voted for Obama in the recent election, but Jim Sedlak of American Life League disputes that, claiming there were some disturbing pre-election events. He cites one example in Philadelphia.
Among the Latino community, we've had people working there since the election, talking to people, and they said that the Obama folks coming around assured them that Obama was pro-life, that he was against abortion, and that's why they voted for him.
There was also false information within the Catholic community.
We also had bishops and priests who were giving instructions that said, well, as long as you don't vote for Obama on the topic of abortion, as long as you're voting for him for other reasons, then it's okay to vote for him.
Sedlak insists that while some education needs to be done, including within the church, the majority of Catholics are pro-life. President-elect Barack Obama is claiming a mandate, but not to promote any partisan point of view, AP White House correspondent Mark Smith reports.
Sure, he won 53% of the vote, and Democrats strengthened their hold on Congress. But the president-elect says the only mandate he sees is for a new direction.
I think what the American people want more than anything is just common sense, smart government. They don't want ideology. They don't want bickering.
At a news conference announcing a new White House budget chief, Obama said it's important to read the election results with humility and to remember how many people voted against him. Mark Smith with the president-elect, Chicago.
A Miami judge has struck a blow against a Florida law banning child adoptions by homosexuals. Though an appeal is expected, Miami-Dade Circuit Judge Cindy Lederman ruled there's no rational basis for the 31-year-old law keeping homosexuals from adopting children. She also noted that homosexuals are allowed to be foster parents in Florida. A pro-family activist said the ruling was a classic case of judicial activism. He said he expected it to be overturned on appeal. The state is planning a swift appeal, likely setting up a battle that could reach the Florida Supreme Court. An anti-communist activist says he hopes a recent report from a congressional advisory panel will convince the incoming Obama administration to get serious about communist Chinese espionage. AFN's Chad Gronin has this report.
According to an annual report from the U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission, the Beijing regime is speeding up its online espionage attacks and has been able to steal, quote, vast amounts of sensitive data from U.S. computer networks. Targets include the U.S. government, businesses, and defense contractors. The annual report also says China's space programs and satellite imagery are helping Beijing better target U.S. military forces. The panel recommends that lawmakers provide money for government programs that would better monitor and protect computer networks. D.J. McGuire is president of the China E-Lobby.
We are the main obstacle to communist China's continuing, ever-expanding geopolitical ambitions, which need to be fulfilled in order for the regime to survive because of the problems they're dealing with at home. And they're going to do everything they can to weaken us and move us aside, including cyber espionage.
And McGuire says President-elect Barack Obama needs to recognize that communist China is an enemy.
This is how an enemy behaves, and the only reason it surprises people is because it reminds them that communist China is an enemy, and they don't want to believe that.
McGuire says there are even members of Congress on the left who do not trust Beijing and would support efforts to better protect the U.S. from Chinese cyber attacks. I'm Chad Groening.
And those are your top stories on American Family News. For more on these stories and for the latest news around the clock, visit OneNewsNow.com. I'm Pete Scheichman.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Let our motto be, don't tread on me. LibertyRadioLive.com.
good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, also known as Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. Today, we're going to continue in our study in Jeremiah. Wanted to take a little detour to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, where Paul writes, "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." He continues, "Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" And, you know, there's a point in time where you realize that people are not going to turn. And I believe that from our reading of Jeremiah, that our Heavenly Father was expressing that he was at that point in time where being lenient, being merciful, was not good for the child. The child needed to be punished. In this case, Paul talks about delivering such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Of course, he's talking about the resurrection. But does that mean that the spirit will be saved? Well, you have to take that on a case-by-case basis. Let's jump into our text in Jeremiah. We left off in Jeremiah chapter 14 about verse 11. I'm going to back up a little bit because I hate to jump in the middle of context. Jeremiah chapter 14 and verse 7. "O Lord, O Yahuwah, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake. For our backslidings are many, we have sinned against thee. O the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in time of trouble, why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land, and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Why shouldest thou be as a man astonished, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Yahuwah, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not." Henry says, "The dispute between God and his prophet in this chapter seems to be like that between the owner and the dresser of the vineyard concerning the barren fig tree. The justice of the owner condemns it to be cut down. The clemency of the dresser intercedes for a reprieve. Jeremiah had been earnest with God in prayer to return in mercy to his people." Chapter 14 and verse 10. "Thus saith Yahuwah unto his people, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore Yahuwah, the Lord, doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins." Sounds much like what Paul said when he said to pull someone out of the body and turn them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Yes, to literally kick them out of the congregation. And I guess a lot of people might use the word shun. In this day, they could shun someone because, especially if your church is a state corporation open to the public, you can't keep someone from coming in, can you? I'm not sure about all the legalities of that, as you're bound by state law, not just the law of God. But to turn someone over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, because it would be better that they suffer terribly, terrible things in this life to their body, than that their whole body and soul be cast into hell, that they be allowed to continue high-minded and heady in their sinful ways, even flaunting it, and everyone knowing it, as was the case that Paul was writing about, where a man had his father's wife, and I'm thinking that the father's wife was not the man's mother, but the same thing. And there's also a reference to the law, because it was unlawful for a man to have his father's wife. One, it's adultery, and even if it was not his mother, and that would be even worse if it was his mother. Would it be worse? I don't know. Sin is sin, isn't it? But it would be compounding the sin. But the people in Jeremiah's day, they were like that man in Paul's day that he was writing to the church at Corinth about. It was hopeless. If something doesn't work, you try something else. Clemency was not working in Jeremiah's day. Clemency, ignoring the problem, as the Corinthian church did, just talking about it behind others' backs, no one confronting the man, that didn't solve the problem. Paul continued to say, "Don't you know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump?" Speaking of the sin of that man, if you let that go, then where do you stop? Where do you draw the line? You have to draw the line where God's law draws the line. You can't move it a little bit, because once you start moving it to allow some sin in, some sin is okay, but some sin is not. It doesn't work. So, Jeremiah's pleading for the people. Yahuwah, the Creator, says, they love to wander. They have not refrained their feet from sinning, of course, and worshiping other gods, and loving the creation more than the Creator. He says, the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Then said Yahuwah unto me, Jeremiah speaking, pray not for this people for their good. Isn't that what Paul said? It's time to stop praying for that man's good that's doing this despicable thing in the church, in the congregation. It's time to turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. That is, that perchance, and I'm adding the perchance there, that perchance, because that's all we have, a chance. I prayed this type of prayer for other people. I can witness right now. I have a daughter that's about 30 years old. When her wicked mother, during times of trials and tribulation in our lives as a young couple, came, she decided to be disobedient. She committed adultery, and she used the power of the state to steal my children from me. That's right, and she did it. Meanwhile, I believed, naively, that God's will would be done, and that my wife and my children would return to me. My wife repentant, and my children, I was willing to forgive, to their father. Well, actually, we had two children, and I'm kind of misleading, because one of our children was disabled, and she left the disabled child with me to show you even more the character of this woman and her wickedness. And she took my daughter, who was the older of the child and not disabled. Well, she kept my daughter by the power of the state. When I finally got her into court, she used the absurd defense that I should not have my daughter because my daughter would be in danger of becoming a surrogate mother to my disabled son, her son. You see the absurdity of that defense. But the court bought it, and they let it stand that the children be split up because the daughter was in danger of becoming a surrogate mother to the disabled son because the mother did not want the son and did not want to be part of the family. She wanted to justify her adulteries and never repent, unrepentantly, keep her adulteries justified, and not be reconciled to her husband. That's a difficult time in anyone's life to go through something like that. But on with the illustration and the point. The point is this, that I eventually got my daughter. I prayed to the Heavenly Father, and this is hope for all you men out there that have had the gun of the state used against you when a wicked woman robs you of your children. I just prayed, Heavenly Father, she has my daughter's body, but I want my daughter's heart, because I don't want her to be lost. There's nothing more important than that to me. And when my daughter was 12 years old, I did get custody of her. And my daughter was a mess. She habitually lied. She had good teachers. Her husband, her mother, and her partner in adultery were both wicked men who had no regard for the Heavenly Father. My wife forgot everything about righteousness and what it meant to walk after God. But she still told herself that she was okay. You know how the world is. But I got my daughter. I got physical custody of my daughter when she was 12. I immediately started homeschooling her and teaching her the Word of God. And I continued to pray. And I was by no means a perfect parent or anything. I mean, suddenly, you know, having a disabled child is way different than having an able child. And, I had missed the first 12 years of schooling myself in being a parent, and now to have a practical teenager thrust upon me was a challenge, too. But I took the challenge, I ratcheted down my work schedule, and I homeschooled my daughter and taught her the Word of God. We went to a church, Calvary Chapel, every week. I was very involved there with those things, and I continued to pray for my daughter. When my daughter turned 18, she fled as fast as she could from the authority of her father. And I don't blame her for that. She had 12 years of training in disobedience and rebellion to work out. My daughter fled, and 7 years I prayed for her, and this was my prayer. It was like Paul's prayer, to turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Only my prayer was a little milder than that. It was to Heavenly Father, make my daughter absolutely miserable until she repents and turns back to you. I know I planted the word in her heart. I planted those seeds, and I reinforced those seeds for 6 years, from the time she was 12 to the time she was 18, because she actually fled before she turned 18. And by that time, you know, she's almost 18, it's too late. And there's nothing you can do, because the world gives your children license to be disobedient because they're of age. And contrary to our Heavenly Father's law for family government, they have license from the state to be disobedient. And she took that license. 7 years, and that girl, I'll tell you, by the end of that 7 years, she was so miserable, so oppressed by demons, that she was afraid to live, and she was afraid to die, and I am not kidding you. She was afraid of death, and she was just as afraid of living, because living had become a frightful thing for her, because she lived in constant fear. The poor child, I felt sorry for her. She was absolutely miserable. And it was more important for me that my daughter's soul be saved than that she be happy. That's right, because she wasn't happy. And I was praying that she would not be happy, because there's something more important than temporal happiness, and that is our eternal disposition. Because this life is only temporary. This life is short. It only lasts for a little while. And then our mortal flesh ceases to function and becomes uninhabitable. Then we have forever with whatever position we've chosen during our mortal existence. And if we aren't in His kingdom when that transition takes place, we will not be in His kingdom forever. And that's a frightening thing. And that's why I prayed for my own daughter, that she would be miserable. It took her 7 years, a little more than 7 years. And today, my daughter, married for the second time. Of course, she's married to a man who is, he's a decent man. He's not what I would call a godly man that follows after the Heavenly Father. But for an unregenerate man, he is a very good man. There's trials with that, and I'm sure there are more trials to come for my daughter, her being a believer, him being patient and kind enough to allow her total free reign in the spiritual reigns of the household, homeschooling the children, and taking them to church. Of course, he doesn't go. Just being totally honest with you here, people. And I have three beautiful grandchildren. She's homeschooling, well, two, and one is 3 years old, so he'll be homeschooled. And he's pretty smart already, because he learns a lot watching his older sisters being homeschooled. But there you have it. The Heavenly Father, he is faithful. So you fathers that have been robbed of your children by a wicked woman, you women that have had your household destroyed by a wicked man, the Heavenly Father is faithful to us. Our duty in that case is to continue in obedience and to continue to learn obedience. And he will reward us. The reward doesn't always come immediately as we would like it, but we have to keep our eye on the prize. We have to keep our eye on the things that are really important, and those are the things that are eternal. Like my illustration, and it's a true story, my daughter was miserable for 7 years, absolutely miserable, and I prayed against her happiness. I did not want her to be happy. That's the point. Jeremiah. And that's the condition of Israel. They could not just continue. Or Judah, in the case of the book here of Jeremiah. Chapter 14, verse 11. Then said Yahuwah unto me, pray not for this people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. When they offer burnt offering and an oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. Then said I, ah, Lord Yahuwah, behold, the prophets say unto them, you shall not see the sword, neither shall you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Yeah, don't listen to that nut. Don't listen to those nuts in the alternative media movement, they'll tell you at the church. Nothing's going to happen here. Nothing bad is going to happen in America. Well, how could it be? We've never known trouble here. A little trouble here and there, but for the most part, fairly peaceable. Civil War? Oh, gosh, you know, that was a long, long time ago. That couldn't happen again, could it? I don't know. I saw the recent election in America. It seems like the nation is fairly divided right down the middle. Only problem is, see, it was divided during the last so-called Civil War. It was divided between North and South. You had a dividing line there, that one half was on one side of the line and the other half was on the other side of the line. So you had, you know, what'll happen now? I mean, how do we work that out? If we're all mixed up and together, you know, now, but divided along such lines. That's something to think about. How's that going to turn out? The Lord said to me, the prophets, their prophets, I'm going to interject, their prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spoke unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. It's a wishful thinking, in other words. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not, yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine those prophets shall be consumed, and the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out into the streets of Jerusalem, because of the famine and the sword, and they shall have none to bury them, their wives, their sons, their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness upon them. Therefore thou shalt say this word unto them, let mine eyes run down with tears night and day, and let them not cease, for the virgin daughter of my people is broken with a great breach, with a very grievous blow. If I go forth into the field, then behold the slain with the sword, and if I enter into the city, then behold them that are sick with famine, yea, both the prophet and the priest go about into the land that they know not. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation, and a heavenly Father, grace, mercy, justice for all.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
FlyingEagleGold.com says don't buy the sizzle of that steak until you understand the cost. In other words, don't buy the hype being dispensed by the rare coin pitchman over the alternative media until you understand the full story. Jeffrey Bennett has been a purveyor of wealth protection, gold and silver bullion, and rare collectible coins for over 17 years. His personal experience reaches back to 1958. FlyingEagleGold.com offers the most private, non-confiscable gold and silver coinage in the world at a very competitive cost. And Jeffrey takes personal pride in putting your interests ahead of all else. You're invited to call Flying Eagle Gold at 623-327-1778. That's 623-327-1778 for the truth about protecting your wealth. Join Jeffrey Bennett each day, Monday through Friday, when he hosts right here on LibertyRadioLive.com. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, you may subscribe at LibertyRadioLive.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all the First Amendment Rights Media Group programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you can request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $20. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD or CD for only $15. You can do all this online at LibertyRadioLive.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at the First Amendment Rights Media Group.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going to jump right back in here to Jeremiah chapter 14 and verse 19. Hast thou utterly rejected Judah? Hath thy soul loathed Zion? Why hast thou smitten us? And there is no healing for us. We looked for peace, and there is no good. And for the time of healing, and behold trouble. We acknowledge, O Yahuwah, our wickedness, and the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against thee. Do not abhor us for thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. Remember, break not thy covenant with us. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Art not thou he, O Yahuwah, our God? Therefore we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all these things. Then said the Lord Yahuwah unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight, and let them go forth. And it shall come to pass, if they say unto thee, Whither shall we go forth? Then thou shalt tell them, Thus saith Yahuwah, such as are for death to death, and such as are for the sword to the sword, and such as are for famine to the famine, and such as are for captivity to the captivity. Wow. Think about that. That's the judgment. Where are they going to go? Well, he has four choices for them. Those that are going to death will go forth to death. Death to death, sword to the sword, famine to famine, and captivity to captivity. Sounds like the very best choice here was captivity. And I will point over them four kinds, saith the Lord, the sword to slay, and the dogs to tear, and the fowls of heaven, and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy. And I will cause them to be removed into all kingdoms of the earth, because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for that which he did in Jerusalem. For who shall have pity upon thee, O Jerusalem? Or who shall bemoan thee? Or who shall go aside to ask how thou doest? Thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord. Thou art gone backward, therefore I will stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee. I am weary with repenting. And he's not saying there he's weary with the repentance of the people. He's saying he's weary of repenting to allow their evil to come upon them. See, now all of these things can come on America. All of these things continually come on the nations of the earth. What's the message of Jeremiah? What would you think of a Jeremiah today who came on the scene, who stood in the way of the temple where the whole nation had to go, and the chief priests and the rulers would hear what he had to say? And he's saying, hey, this is what's coming: death, the sword, famine, or captivity. Sounds like you have one choice. You submit when the captors come in, or you die. That's it. It would be better to go into captivity than to die of starvation. It would be better to go into captivity than to be slain for the iniquity of a nation. But those that were appointed to death, those that were appointed to the sword and appointed to famine, would they not be the disobedient and those that follow the disobedient? And what would the obedient do? Well, they would either flee or they would surrender. And that's, there comes a point when surrender is your only option. You surrender or die. And the legacy of Judah was those that surrendered to the king of Babylon and were taken captive and lived. They became servants. Yes, they became slaves to Nebuchadnezzar. That's what Jeremiah is talking about here, about what's coming against Israel out of the north. And they're going, ha, that'll never happen. We're going to have peace. That's what the false prophets said. That could never happen here. Chapter 15, verse 5, for who shall have pity on thee, O Jerusalem, and who shall bemoan thee, or who shall go aside to ask, how are you doing? How thou doest? Thou hast forsaken me, saith Yahuwah, saith the Lord. Thou art gone backward, therefore I will stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee. I am weary with repenting, and I will fan them with a fan in the gates of the land. I will bereave them of children. I will destroy my people, since they return not from their ways. And I could just interject there, from their wicked ways. The widows are increased to me above the sand of the seas. I have brought upon them against the mother of the young men a spoiler at noonday. I have caused him to fall upon it suddenly, and terrors upon the city. Gee, maybe they needed a war on terrorism. Chapter 15 and verse 9. She that hath borne seven languisheth it, languisheth. She hath given up the ghost. Her son is gone down. While it was yet day, she hath been ashamed and confounded, and the residue of them I will deliver to the sword before their enemies, saith the Lord. Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me. a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury, yet every one of them doth curse me. Jeremiah, speaking the word, put in his mouth by the Heavenly Father, the prophet to the nation of Israel, and they hate him. He's saying, they hate me, even though I haven't, you know, committed usury against them or borrowed from them upon usury. Just to tell you an illustration of what our Heavenly Father thinks of usury, he uses it as a demonstration of something that would cause men to hate him or to be hated of men. Chapter 15, verse 11, the Lord said, verily it shall be well with thy remnant. Verily I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil, in the time of affliction. Well, you know who the enemy is going to treat well? Those that say, I surrender, I will submit. And that was Jeremiah's message to the nation Israel. Jeremiah preached, repent, repent. They would not repent. The Heavenly Father got tired of holding back. So Jeremiah now is preaching that imminent doom, that there is no time for repentance. There is no hope for the nation, that the judgment is set. And he's telling the people, when the Babylonians come in, surrender, and it will be well with you. You know, just like Yahshua, the prophet to the nation Israel, their prophet and king and Messiah, told those that when you see these things, flee. Don't stop to take your bags. Just grab the babies and run. Yes, woe to them that give suck in those days. It's going to be hard, but just grab the babies and run. If you're on the rooftop, just jump down and flee when you see these things. That's how urgent it is. Don't put it off. Say, don't go, oh, next week or next month, or say, oh, when I can, you know, I got to get all my stuff in order. I got to sell the house and sell all the property so I can have enough money to go on a long journey. No, the urgency was sudden. It was immediate. It was flee. That was the point that Yahshua was trying to get across to the obedient, so that the posterity, the obedient and their posterity, could live on and carry the gospel to the nations. Because the posterity of the disobedient and those disobedient men and their posterity would be destroyed. Not God's chosen people. God's chosen people fled. They were obedient. That's right. I want to draw that distinction, that dichotomy at that time, the time between the time that the gospel went to the Gentiles and Daniel's 70th week was over, and the time that destruction came to Jerusalem, about a, you know, what, 30-year period, somewhere in there, that they had time to get their stuff in order. But he said, when you see these signs, then you flee. That's what Jeremiah is saying here. When they come in, you know, you can't get your house in order. You have no time to prepare. It's time to surrender, and it will go well with you. The Lord said, verily it shall be well with thy remnant. The remnant. Who are the remnant? Well, he has always had his remnant in the earth. And I'll tell you, I want to be one of those. The remnant is not the crowd. The remnant is not mainstream Christianity. The remnant would be those nuts in the alternative media movement who are preaching the Word of God. They don't have a 501c3. They are not whores in the bed with the beast. They are not riding the back of the beast for the benefits that the beast can give it, and have forgotten all of his benefits. As the Scripture says, forget none of my benefits. Have you forgotten his benefits? Have you signed up with the beast for benefits? Have you said, in Social Security I will trust? That's what the state churches have said. They have traded liberty. The liberty to speak the Word of God. The liberty to take actions. The liberty to speak against the wickedness that has now become public policy of the state, because they are subordinate to the state. Voluntarily, they have traded their liberty in Christ for the benefits of mammon. There's no other way to look at it. I'm sorry. There's just no other way to look at it. So the Lord says, Yahuwah says, it will be well with my remnant. Verily I will cause the enemy to entreat them well in the time of evil and in the time of inflection. Where are you going to be when the time of evil comes on America? When the time of affliction comes, will the enemy entreat you well because you are his remnant? Yes. You know, I believe in that lamb-like principle that America was founded upon, the right to self-defense, you know, the right to bear arms, based on the statement that Yahshua made when he said, sell your cloak and buy a sword. He was saying it's more important for you to be armed for the purpose of self-defense, of course, than it is for you to stay warm. That's what he was saying with that statement. Of course, the arms of the day, you know, we have stone-throwing implements because that's what they're using against us. You know, those little tools that shoot pieces of lead out the end, projectiles. You know, they're little stone-casting implements. Basically, they throw a little stone of lead, don't they? That's the sword of the day, is it not? But I'll tell you what, they had to lay down their arms in that day. The remnant, we're told that they would be entreated well. I will cause the enemy, when he comes, to entreat you well, the remnant. In other words, they had to surrender. Shall iron break the northern iron and the steel? Thy substance and thy treasures I will give to the spoil without price. You're not going to be able to save anything except your lives. And that for all thy sins, even in thy borders, in all thy borders. And I will make thee to pass with thine enemies into a land which thou knowest not, for a fire is kindled in mine anger, which shall burn upon thee. O Yahuwah, thou knowest. Remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord, O Yahuwah, God of hosts. His name was Jeremiah. His name was Yermiyahu, which means to rise up to God, or that our Creator will rise up. He was called by his name, was he not? Being that the name of the Creator was part of his name. I am called by thy name, O Yahuwah, God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Well, I guess I'm in pretty good company if I feel a little indignant about the state of the corporate church being in bed with the state, riding the back of the beast, like whores for mammon, like whores for hire, for financial benefits. They have forgotten his benefits. Jeremiah was indignant. Well, I can be indignant too. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar and as waters that fail? Therefore, thus saith Yahuwah, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me, and if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. And I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of trouble. And I believe this is a personal message to Jeremiah, that he would not be taken captive. Him and some of his fellows would escape the trouble. At least that's how I understand it so far. We're in Jeremiah chapter 16 and verse 1. But at the same time, we know that there was a remnant in Israel that feared the name of the Heavenly Father, that were righteous, a righteous remnant, that were taken captive. And we know one of those fellows as Daniel and his friends. And there were more that were taken captive into Babylon to serve in the king's court, because they were the wise men of Judah. Chapter 16 and verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shalt thou have sons or daughter in this place. For thus saith the Lord concerning the sons and concerning the daughters that are born in this place, and concerning their mothers that bore them, concerning their fathers that begot them in this land, they shall die a grievous death. They shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried, but they shall be as dung upon the face of the earth, and they shall be consumed by the sword and by famine, and their carcasses shall be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth. See, Jeremiah, the prophet of God, up until this time, he had fairly given up his own life. You know, we all have our aspirations for this life, especially a Hebrew man would want a wife and many children. Jeremiah could have none of that. But perhaps he had those things afterwards, just not in the land. Because here, you shall not take a wife, neither shall thou have sons and daughters in this place. So perhaps Jeremiah, after it was all said and done, lived a peaceable life and had the things that a Hebrew man would aspire to, an ordinary life, so to speak. As for everyone else, well, they shall die a grievous death, not lamented, not buried. They shall be dung upon the land, man. For thus saith Yahuwah, enter not into the house of mourning, neither go to lament nor bemoan them, for I have taken away my peace from this people, saith the Lord, even loving kindness and mercies. Both the great and the small shall die in this land. They shall not be buried, neither shall men lament for them, nor cut themselves, nor make themselves bald for them. Neither shall men tear themselves for them in mourning, to comfort them for the dead. Neither shall men give them the cup of consolation to drink for their father or for their mother. There shall not also go into the house of feasting to sit with them, to eat and to drink. Thou shalt also not go into the house. He's speaking to Jeremiah. He's not to go back when the time comes. For thus saith Yahuwah of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will cause to cease out of this place in your eyes and in your days the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt show this people all these words, and they shall say unto thee, Wherefore hath the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? Or what is our iniquity, or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Then shalt thou say unto them, Because your fathers have forsaken me, saith Yahuwah, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law. And you have done worse than your fathers. For behold, you walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Therefore will I cast you out of this land into a land which you know not, neither ye nor your fathers, and there you shall serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith Yahuwah, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, The Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north, and from all the lands whither he hath driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave to their fathers. Israel will get another chance. We'll be back after these messages. You're listening to Cross the Border Don't go anywhere.
Our healer, provider, Messiah.